Are you curious what are the qualities of a true connector, a catalyst between the planning, strategic, and other stakeholder teams, and maybe even your audience members? Stay till the end of today's episode as we will demystify and explore ways in which you can break down the walls between all the different roles in the event and hospitality industry in order to learn how to be stronger, better, and more resilient together. This is what today's feature guest is passionate about, having worked in a variety of positions within the industry and having been the bridge that connected many key players.
Welcome to Events Demystified Podcast, where we explore and demystify the world of in-person, virtual, hybrid event AV production and technology by sharing insightful tips, tricks, and tactics to make your events a success. This podcast is brought to you by Tree Fan Events, a woman-owned boutique event production agency. And your host is Anka Trifan, a technical event planner and producer with almost two decades of hands-on technical experience in event production.
Well, hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Events Demystify Podcast, your one-shop stop for tangible, technical, and practical planning advice for anyone in the event industry. Today's episode is sponsored by Trifan Events, a woman-owned boutique production agency that provides the strategy, technology, and production gear to host a successful virtual or hybrid event. And I am your host, Anka Trifan. And with me on the show today, I have Jennifer Salerno, a 20-year veteran of the hospitality and event industry. Throughout her career, Jennifer has worked with and consulted for many of the biggest trade shows in the country and specializes in strengthening the relationship between event planners and the hospitality community. Today, she is the owner of JTS Connect, which provides live and virtual event host, MC, and moderating services. She's also the host of the Room Block podcast, where hospitality and event professionals meet. Jen is passionate about solidifying the connections across our industry and is ready to connect your team or audience with ideas that inspire action. So without further ado, let's welcome Jen to the show. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you with me today, Jen. How are you?
Hi, Anka. I'm great. How are you? I'm so pleased to be here. Thank you for having me.
Besides having a scratchy throat, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm actually ready to cough. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fantastic trying to, you know, record and having your throat, you know, all in shambles. But let's hope that we can make it through today's episode without a lot of dramatic coughing happening on the side. It's not COVID, guys. The test is negative. So just so you're afraid that you might get it over the airway. Ways, which I don't think that ever happened, but
not
knows?
Yet. Maybe the next variant.
Oh my gosh, please don't say that. So to kick us off, Jen, would you give our audience in a nutshell version your background story in the event industry and how you got where you are now in your professional development?
Sure. Thank you. Okay. So I think my story in the events industry is similar to a lot of my contemporaries in that I just fell into it. You know, it wasn't part of the plan. I didn't go to school for it. It was an industry I didn't even know existed. But when I graduated school, I started working as a concierge at the Palmer House Hilton in downtown Chicago, which was a very cool experience. From there, I stayed in hotels for a while and just kind of worked my way up through convention services and sales, did some time at True Chicago, which is the Convention Visitors Bureau for the city of Chicago. And then finally went over to the Housing Bureau side or third party event accommodations, which is where I spent probably the bulk of my career and where I really learned a lot about the value of being that connector in that third party role. Kind of have to work as a bridge to connect your customers with the hotel community and the city itself. So it was a really great way to kind of understand the big picture of how it all works together. Then the pandemic happened. And
it's funny to laugh now, but it wasn't really that funny just 2 years ago.
I don't know
if it's funny right now either, honestly.
Well, it's getting less funny by the day. But I mean, I can look back now and recognize that the past 2 years have been, it was worth it, what ended up happening, because my position was eliminated to the pandemic. My entire department actually was eliminated. And yeah, I was really upset. I mean, I was in a place where I had been just running things for my family. I was in this director position. It was the only thing that I thought that everything hinged on me being employed, right? Like, it was this huge weight I wore on my shoulders. And my husband works too, but he's self-employed. So it just was like a different feel, you know, like insurance and everything. So losing my position was terrifying. You know, I have 2 kids, you know, it just was like an awful time. And I think a lot of your audience can understand that feeling. I think a lot of people.
No, I love that you bring the humanity behind it, because yes, from a professional view, we all understand, but so much of what happens in our professional life actually impacts our personal life, and just creating that bridge between the two worlds that sometimes we try so hard to keep separate is important, just to bring, you know, to the surface the fact that whatever happens sometimes in our professional life does impact us greatly in our personal life.
So true, especially when I think a lot of people in this industry, we are like really invested in what we do, right? I mean, because it's super busy, and when you're working in it, like, you have to be 100% engaged in it, right? You're traveling a lot, you're like answering calls around the clock at times. It's like you're all in. So then all of a sudden to be have that just taken away, it's like, who am I without my job, and like, what is my worth? And it's a huge thing that I dealt with.
It's an identity crisis.
It was totally. Yeah. So I had several sessions of an identity crisis
therapy
sitting on my couch, you know, my poor husband. I think it was in, you know, maybe April or May, maybe May. And he says, why don't you kind of do something? Like, why don't you start a podcast? And I was like, what am I going to? I know what I can do. Yes. So I started a podcast dedicated to events and hospitality industry. It was a great way to stay connected to the community. And then at the time, it was still so uncertain. I mean, this is, you know, the May, June timeframe, 2020. It was still very messy and scary at the time, right? So I felt like it was also a way to serve the community and just like get some voices talking and some familiar, you know, familiar people on the air, telling their stories, just trying to inspire our industry. So I have been sticking with the podcast. It's been almost, well, I guess over a year and a half now, almost 50 episodes. So it's been great.
That's awesome. I feel like we both kind of sort of fell into the same passion of like realizing, okay, so this happened. What can we do now to support this community of event professionals? In my case, at the time, I was very much focused on the nonprofit community. So just because I was doing a lot of virtual nonprofit fundraising events, and I wanted to bring to the forefront those success stories that, yes, we might not have our in-person events, but we don't know for how long or how that's going to pan out to be. But here's the formula for a successful virtual fundraising gala, so you can still fundraise and still support your mission and your vision for your organization. And that has been really helpful for a lot of organizations and the clients that I had, because there were a lot of people that started embracing this new reality of virtual events, and how can we turn our event to some type of a virtual live stream to be able to fundraise and still raise money. And many of those organizations have raised really well. You know, one of them that I am a big supporter of, and one of my clients have raised over $2 million just in their first virtual fundraising event, which is crazy amount of money when you think about how that has happened. And in person, they probably have never had the chance to do that, but the reach that the virtual event has provided them was extraordinary. So I love how you mentioned that, because it's like we as connectors and bridge makers and supporters of our industry, we will figure out a way how we can help and give back. So I want to ask you one question. In this effort to give back, to do something, because you're like, okay, I've got to do something. I can't just be sitting on my sofa for more than, I don't know, a few days, a week, whatever, how long it takes for you to get back on your feet. What do you feel it was maybe the hardest obstacle or limitation to overcome on this journey? Even like, you can even touch on the podcasting journey, because, you know, as someone that probably has never done podcasting or anything of that nature, you're like, where do I start?
It's funny, because I was talking with my husband about it last last night thinking about the time from podcast suggestion, which again was his idea, so I gave him the credit there. But for the time from that to when I actually released an episode was really only about 3 or 4 months. And like that could have dragged out a long time. Right? Because
well, it looks to me like you're a doer, Jen. So in that case, probably not, because you're like, I'm going to do something about this.
Well, it's funny because I have to remember that the podcast is something that I had never done. I had no idea how to even speak into a microphone properly, right? Which, I mean, there's a way to do it. You know, the sound editing, all these things, you're just getting it. What's an RSS feed? I mean, like literally playing in that space was so foreign to me, but you just do it. But like limitations wise, you know, I'll be honest, like getting the podcast going, that's great. And I consider that a huge success. And I'm proud at the fact that I was able to just get that going, but it hasn't been a smooth journey the entire way. I still grapple with this identity crisis. At times, like I'm not working in the industry anymore. I'm not employed by a hotel. I'm not employed by an association as an event planner. So what am I really contributing? What is my place here? That is something that I actually do continue to wonder about.
I think this fear of like potentially falling out of touch with what's happening in the here and now, I can totally understand that. But on my perspective, the way I see it is you're very much very busy and active in the association event community. You're working with BCMA. I'm not sure if you're associated with any other associations, event planning associations, but just that in itself, it's the answer to what you just said.
Well, and I've put myself in that path, frankly. PCMA is, yes, I'm very active in PCMA. I had never volunteered on a committee before. I've been a member of PCMA over the years, but I was like, oh, I don't have time to do committee work. But and then you find yourself with time, and I've been on two committees over the past year and a half. It's like you just put yourself in that place because I realize I do have something of value. I mean, I do have 20 years of working in the industry, and I sometimes have to remember that there's people who've been in the industry for 2 or 5 or even 10. There's something that I could teach. So
100%.
Yeah.
I love that. Sometimes, you know, the universe reminds you or keeps putting something in front of you that you need to learn this lesson. You really need to learn this lesson so you can move to the next step, you know? So what do you feel is that whatever life lesson or maybe event-related lesson that you keep bumping yourself into because you need to really learn it?
You're speaking my language because the universe definitely talks to us, I feel. I completely agree with you. You know, and I don't know if it's something that the universe is putting in my way or if I put it in my own way because that happens to be the kind of content that I consume online or on Instagram or whatever it may be. But like, let's just say that I feel like a recurring message is that no one really has it figured out and it's okay to change your mind and keep evolving. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's a good idea to keep evolving, right? I feel like a lot of times you can look at somebody and look at what someone's doing either in their career or whatever, and you don't realize that they're on day 764 and I might be on day 5 or 10. I mean, I'm beyond that at this point, but you know what I'm saying? Like doing something new. So I think it's important to realize that like everyone's just figuring it out as they go. Like no one wakes up knowing how to do anything. So that's a lesson that I actually, strangely enough, I have to keep reminding myself. But I think as humans, it's our nature to maybe second guess ourselves or to be pretty self-critical, or at least that's my nature.
Or at least this idea of like wanting to, you know, really perfect whatever it is that you're doing and attain this excellence that it does take practice before you get to that. Like, yeah, I am on my 50th something episode, but I have not yet reached the 100 and I still have, you know, halfway to go there. By the time I'm at the 100 episode, probably I'm going to compare myself to somebody that's there at 1,000 episodes. episode, how many lessons did they learn between 100 to 1,000, right?
Yes.
And giving yourself grace that you need to take it one step at a time, jumping over like a bunch of steps, it's not going to be helpful.
No, it's not. And you're right. It is that kind of perfectionism, I think, that stops a lot of people from even getting started in the first place. So when you give yourself that permission to just do it, there's a couple of people that I follow, Angie Lee, ready is a lie. You know, I mean, like you're never ready. Just do it. Just do it. Like that's really all there is to it. So.
I love it. Now, as an MC and moderator, there's a lot of responsibility that I feel like falls on the shoulder of the person that is in that role to keep their audience engaged, entertained, delighted. Do you have any tips or suggestions for making that happen during a virtual and also an in-person event? And which job do you feel like it's harder?
This is such a good question. And it really depends on the kind of event that you're doing, right? So like we've all been part of virtual events at this point in time, probably a whole bunch of different formats. Some where you're in a Zoom room with maybe 10 people and you can see everyone's camera, hopefully everyone's got them on. And then some where you are just talking to yourself, it seems, but behind, you know, on the other side of your camera, there's hundreds of people who you can't mm-hmm. see. It's so hard. I feel like that's the hardest circumstance that I've been in, is when you're talking and you can't see what's going on. You can't see any faces. It's really hard to read the room. Hopefully you can see the chat, see what's going on. Hopefully there's people engaging. And when you're in that kind of position, it's, I guess, just all about asking questions and trying to get the audience to converse amongst themselves or throw out some leading questions. When you're in a more enclosed setting, when it's maybe just, you know, 10 to 20, 30 people, and you can actually see people talking. Then, of course, there's a whole bunch of tips and tricks you can do just from a standpoint of the meeting content itself. It's just really important to make sure that you're doing, you know, continuous breaks. And your MC is a great way between sessions, give them a chance to do something and fun with your audience if they can. And that's something that I think I'm learning as I go. I would love the chance to work with planners who want to do some kind of fun, funky things. Just there's a way to plan the meeting and you just have like speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker, but no, like
that's so dreadful.
let's talk about some ways, or maybe we stop, do some kind of break where we do like a word cloud or whatever. I mean, there's like a break.
I love that, like something to elevate the energy of whomever is on the other side. And I remember actually when I first started doing some of those virtual MCing, whatever, hosting things, I would print a picture of a smiley person and literally like put it in front of me so that I'm like thinking, okay, this is the person that I'm talking to and they're happy and they're not mad at me or whatever.
I love that. Hey, whatever works, right? I mean, across the board, I think the most important thing is just being a warm, welcoming person and trying to create that kind of atmosphere. An atmosphere where people want to listen and they don't feel like you're being like, you know, robotic or whatever. I mean, it's really just about being genuine. And like, you know, if it takes putting a little cutout of a person smiling to remind you that you're talking to real people and not the screen, then whatever.
That's what it takes. And in the beginning, also, like, my first goal would always be like, there's one goal that I have, to make the other people smile. If I can make one person smile, even if I like totally goofball myself and like just totally awkwardly, whatever, made jokes that probably only made sense to myself, if I made someone smile, to me, that was a win.
Totally. Well, and it's funny, I'm not an MC that's also a comedian. Like, I mean, I think that's a really common.
Oh, I'm sure there's a role for that, but I'm like, hey, can I make this happen? Let's see. It's a challenge.
Right. I mean, that's, you know, that's not really like my angle. So it is a little challenging to come up with ways. There's so many opportunities for collaboration with the planning team to figure out what the best way is.
What is your self-talk to get yourself into the right mindset when you have to come in front of an audience that you can't see? You don't see their reactions. You don't know if they're even receiving what you're saying, or if you can even like, you know, see their interaction, their eyes, their like body language.
I constantly remind myself to pretend like I'm two things. First of all, I always go back to my own podcast and the fact that I just say, you can do this. You know, you can talk. You're having a conversation, basically. And it's not just with one person, it's with many. yes, you might be reading a script, but it is a conversation, essentially. Yeah. So I try to think about it in those terms. So just reminding myself that I do it on a podcast, and so I can do it here as well. But then also then just that kind of thought where I just try to think that to have a cadence of speech where you are talking to a friend. So
I
don't really have like a thing where I get like all pumped up or anything, but it's just it's just more kind of like relax and breathe and try to make it sound natural. That's what I'm working on.
I was doing an interview with Courtney Stanley, and her episode is going to probably be aired by the time we get to air this episode. But she was mentioning how she definitely has this playlist where she pumps herself up, you know, it's like a few songs that get her like, you know, ready to go and like, I don't know, like break through a wall or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, people talk about, power poses are really important. I've heard that tip time and time again. So, like do some kind of like Wonder Woman pose, whatever right. works, you know, post-it notes stuck around, tell you how awesome you are.
So I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hold that thought. We're going to return to that. We're just going to take a short moment to give a shout out to our main sponsor, Trifan Events. Before we move any further, I wanted to give a quick shout out to our main sponsor, Trifan Events, which is a boutique event planning and production agency that will come alongside you, offering personalized event planning and technical support, strategic event design, production and technology management, and flawless execution for live, virtual, and hybrid events. The team at Trifan Events is passionate about planning and producing event experiences that get people involved with true moments of interaction, engagement, and co-creation while offering white glove treatment throughout the entire planning process, enabling you to reach your event goals with the use of creativity, production tools, and event technology. Find out how Trifan Events can plan and produce your event become memorable. Go to trifanevents.com. Okay, so this is the fun part. This is where we get straight into the rapid fire segment.
Ooh,
and nice. I can't wait to to get to this. So I'm going to ask you around a few rapid questions. Answer with whatever comes to your mind first. So you ready?
I'm ready. Yep, bring it on. Mm-hmm.
The perfect hybrid event is?
Engaging.
What makes a virtual event iconic is?
Amazing speakers.
The most entertaining virtual or hybrid or whatever in real life event MC or host has to
know how to have a lot of fun.
The best all-in-one event platform you've worked with is and why?
I really like Juno because I like the little emojis that you can make while people are talking. No. No, I do like Juno though.
I love it. Yeah. What is one piece of advice you were given that you still follow today?
Don't burn bridges. You never know who you're going to be working with in the future, especially in this industry.
Especially in this industry. That's so true. What is one thing that people often tend to get wrong about you?
I think people think that I'm a really innocent person, and I am sweet and innocent, but I'm also kind of spicy too. And I don't think a lot of people know that.
All right. Well, this was the rapid fire question segment. Thank you so much for taking the time to answer with the first thing that came to your mind. Now, moving back into what we were discussing prior to the segment, I want to find out more from you. If you have maybe any type of advice or any type of advice that you want to give out or that was given to you for anyone that wants to embrace this event hosting and seeing career, and even like as an event professional, ways to better themselves and position themselves for success, especially in our now digital hybrid event type of situation that we're in.
All right, a couple of things here. I think the most important thing is just to keep putting yourself out there and trying to find opportunities. Like you got to run the reps. I mean, I cannot explain how different it is to do a podcast and then to host an actual event. That I got the idea to move into this MC moderator role because I'm like, well, I do it on the podcast, right? And I love it. And I wanted to give it a go doing it for actual events. And it's working and it's fun, but it doesn't translate exactly. So it's like, you just have to find a way to put yourself in line to try to do it. You know, a lot of pro bono work is probably your future, and that's okay because it will eventually pay off and, you know, morph into actual jobs. And then one thing that I heard on a different show, and I thought this was really cool advice, and I have seen it happen, and I feel like this is something that was a huge game changer for other people that I've watched, is if you can't find a speaking opportunity, create your own. There's so many ways to do it now. You know, you're like LinkedIn Lives or Facebook Lives, or just like have some kind of Zoom networking event or whatever, just to put yourself in that path of being that leader of a conversation. There's so many different ways you can do that. You mentioned Courtney Stanley before, and I think back to last March, she was already working as an MC and a moderator and a keynote speaker, but she put out an event. She did an event for International Women's Day, and I wonder if she's going to do it again this year, but yeah, it was the coolest event. I mean, it was so good, and I feel like it was probably a great way for her to get practice what it's actually like to, you know, run an event, hire all these speakers, have, you know, manage an audience. So just do it yourself. If you can't find one, if you can't find somebody that's going to hire you to do it yourself for the practice.
I love that. That's actually a fantastic piece of advice. I may have to take it myself.
I could totally see you doing it and like killing it, you know.
Thank you, Jen. I so appreciate you saying that. And I know that there's a lot of listeners out there that have probably dabbled with the idea, but they feel so intimidated of what that might look like, or where do you even start to create those kind of opportunities for yourself. So thank you for saying that. Now, in closing, I want to touch on mental health. It's such a big thing and something that I feel like it's come more of the light has been shone on it more so now than ever before, just because we all have struggled during the pandemic. And if you have not, probably you're lying to yourself with this idea of wholeness and trying to figure out like, how are we going to overcome this time? What are some things that you do personally to keep yourself balanced, especially when it comes to work and life balance? I like to call it integration, because I'm still trying to figure out what that balance looks like, and keeping your, you know, mind, body, soul aligned and healthy in the best shape possible.
I would say the main thing that I've learned, and I would not have learned this had I not lost my job, like had I not been literally taken out of that life, and I realize now that I never did this before, is literally give yourself what you need. Like, you have to stop and check in with yourself. What do I need in this moment, in this day, in this hour, and do it? Because it's like we just keep running and running and running and running and running, and then like that's when the burnout happens, right? So I've gotten much better at checking in with myself and trying to figure out what I need in this day. And if it is a day that says don't sit at that computer and like watch Netflix today, like I've done that, you know, and like it's a luxury, I suppose, to be able to do that for some of us. Not everyone can do that, but like don't do it for a whole day, do it for an hour or two, do a yoga class, or, you know, meditate or something. Like, just take some time to just serve yourself, because if you can't serve yourself, you cannot serve others. So like, if that's the takeaway, like I think about that all the time. I really talk about the oxygen mask theory, where you like, you're on an airplane and they always say, put on your mask before putting on someone else's, because if you can't help yourself, you can't help somebody else.
I love that. I feel like we innately know that, but putting it into practice is what takes the effort. I was dropping off my son to school this morning, and there's this Waffle House that I drive by every single day, maybe 3-4 times a day. And I've never stopped in, even though it looks so delicious. And from the outside, I mean, there's so much temptation happening where I'm like, man, that looks so great. But I'm thinking of my macros and how I'm supposed to be like following, you know, to the T. And today, honestly, I was like, darn it, I'm going to stop in and I'm going to go and check it out. And I'm going to go and get myself a waffle.
Did you do it?
I actually did it. Yeah, I might have not eaten the whole thing because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is like carb overload. I'm going to like pay for it sweetly today.
I think you have some wiggle room.
I allowed myself to go and actually taste this amazing looking waffle that has probably 3,000 calories.
Probably. But was it worth it?
I think was worth it. I mean, obviously, anything sweet is worth it, right?
Yeah.
but it was just something that, I mean, I would normally just say, no, 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 you can't, because I'm like pretty disciplined, you know, when it comes to my diet and my fitness. And today I was like, well, I am feeling a little, my throat is scratchy and I'm just not feeling on my best game. I need to like somehow like get myself back together. And this waffle is the recipe. The solution for my problem.
Exactly. So, you know, if it's not yoga, maybe it's a waffle.
Maybe it's a waffle. Need. Hey, you might not want Netflix. You can have a waffle instead.
Whatever serves you, right?
Whatever
fills your cup.
Well, thank you so much, Jen, for the laughs, for this very authentic conversation of sharing, you know, your struggles, sharing your journey, and being willing to have this conversation with me. Thank you for sharing your tips and the tricks that you've learned so far. And I mean, you have so much wealth of knowledge in this industry that we could have a completely different episode on a completely different topic and still cover the whole time that we allowed it for. Now, if anybody wants to learn about you, about the MC hosting services you're doing, or anything else that you connect with, and especially your company JTS Connect, what is the best way for them to do that?
Well, currently, the best place to see what I'm up to and to get an idea of my service offerings and just kind of see the kind of activity that I do and what I'm involved in is to visit my LinkedIn page. I try to stay active in LinkedIn and I try to promote different kinds of thought leadership. I will share items about the podcast there as well. I do have a page for the Room Block podcast on LinkedIn as well. So you can also visit that if you want podcast specific information. Website coming soon, jtsconnect.com. So maybe by the time this episode is released, it will be active.
There you go. Then it would be in the show notes if that's the case. So that's going to be a link there as well.
Cool. And then there's also roomblockpodcast.com for the podcast, but which is also available on any major podcast platform.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jen, for joining me. Thank you for this time. All of our listeners, thank you for sticking with us till the very end. And stay tuned for what's coming up next. And we shall see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Events Demystified podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to review it, rate it, and share it with other event professionals that could benefit from it. Connect with us on social at Events Demystified Podcast. We would love to hear from you and what you're up to. If you'd like to learn more about TreeFan Event Services and find out if we're a good fit in supporting your event, can we help your event be successful with a 20-minute free consultation? Link in the episode's notes. Thanks for tuning in.